This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has opened the second round of funding of the Illinois Electric Vehicle Rebate Program. Applications are being accepted from now to January 31st of next year. The rebate program was part of Illinois' Climate and Equitable Jobs Act, CEJA for short, signed into law last year. Among other things, it set a goal of getting 1 million electric vehicles on roads across Illinois by the year 2030. Because of the new round of rebates, we're revisiting our recent conversations on electric vehicles. We were joined by Megha Lakchora, Electric Vehicles Coordinator at the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency. We also spoke with Larissa Kohler, the Director of Vehicle Electrification with the Environmental Defense Fund, and Ryan Denham, Content Director for our partner stations WGLT in Normal and WCBU in Peoria. He's reported on electric truck maker Rivian, which has a manufacturing facility in the Bloomington Normal area. Listeners, because this conversation's on tape, we're not taking your calls, but you can leave us a voicemail with your thoughts at 217-300-2121. That's 217-300-2121, or send us an email, talk@21stshow.org.
So, Larissa, I want to begin with you. From your experience, do people generally understand the importance or the reasons behind going electric as a society, especially when it comes to the difference that could make for the environment?
Thanks, Brian. I think they do. I think there's a broad recognition that transportation is the largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in Illinois, as well as being a significant source of health-harming pollutants, including things like particulate matter and nitrogen oxides, that really have a direct impact on health, including contributing to asthma, contributing to respiratory and cardiovascular diseases, and even premature death. I think it's important to note that Illinois has made really great strides on transitioning to passenger vehicles. As you noted, CEJA has a goal of 1 million electric vehicles on the road by 2030. And there are also mechanisms in place to put rebates for charging stations and light duty vehicles in place. But I do just want to flag that there's really a need to focus not just on passenger vehicles, but on the diesel trucks and buses that are driving throughout Illinois' roads. All too often, these vehicles are in communities, usually communities of color and low-income communities, and they're idling and really creating a lot of diesel emissions that are also impacting health. So,
sure. Well, yeah, we can come back to that a little bit later. I do want to talk about the sort of the non-passenger vehicle aspect of this as well. Let me just mention that we did put out a message about EVs to our texting group over the weekend and got many responses. Thank you to everybody who sent in a message, including Anne in Peoria, who says, "We bought a Tesla in 2015 and love it. Before we owned it, we had range anxiety, but that went away quickly when we realized that we never drive 250 miles a day. Road trips have never been a problem either with the supercharger network. I also want to add we have solar panels which provide all our electricity, so it feels good to plug directly into the sun. Our biggest challenge now is constantly debunking the myth of electric cars being worse for the environment than gas-powered ones." Larissa, can you talk about that? That's something that I've heard, you know, as well, people make that point. What misconceptions do you find yourself having to deal with time and time again?
Sure. So, I mean, I do think you've hit on two of the key sort of maybe mismessages that are sort of circulating around. One is around range anxiety. I do think electric vehicles, passenger electric vehicles in particular, have enough range for most trips. And in addition, I think we're seeing the build out of charging infrastructure that will facilitate even longer trips. So things like the Federal Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act is really facilitating public charging all across the country, including in Illinois. So I do think between that and the fact that battery technology continues to become better and more efficient, that range anxiety concern is really starting to dissipate. The other thing that you flagged, that electric vehicles are worse for the environment, that doesn't really bear out in the research. Even in the scenario where you're using the dirtiest sources of energy, which as we know in Illinois are going to be a thing of the past thanks to CEJA, The well-to-wheel emissions from electric vehicles are still significantly better than their fossil fuel alternatives. So again, there we're seeing some misinformation. Of course, we need to use renewable energy as much as possible to power these vehicles, but it's just not true that they're worse for the environment.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation on what it'll take to build up an electric vehicle infrastructure in Illinois. The second round of funding for the Illinois Electric Vehicle Rebate Program is now open and runs through January 31st of next year. We first aired this conversation back in September, and we're joined by Megha Lakchura, the Electric Vehicles Coordinator at the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, Larissa Kohler, Director of Vehicle Electrification with the Environmental Defense Fund, and Ryan Denham, Content Director at NPR stations WGLT and WCBU. Because we're on tape, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought. Email talk at 21stshow.org. That's talk at 21stshow.org. Or tweet us at 21stshow, at 21stshow.
And Megha Lakchura, I want to bring you into the conversation now. Can you talk about what have your priorities been in your first few months in this post as the state's electric vehicles coordinator?
The first couple of priorities have been figuring out the infrastructure part of things, because, you know, as you noted, in Illinois, we only have 49,000 vehicles. We want to get to 1 million, but we need a charging infrastructure to support that. And at the moment, we're lagging quite behind when it comes to both fast charging as well as level two. So fortunately, we have various pots of money. We have federal funding to put chargers on our corridors, which is known as the National Electric Vehicle Infrastructure plans that our state has submitted, and hopefully should get approved by within the next four days. So we've got that. We also have our Volkswagen settlement money, which we've decided to spend on charging, as well as towards funding some of the, you know, medium heavy duty vehicles that Larissa was referring to. Class 6 and Class 8 trucks, electric school buses, as well as transit buses. And then we're also in the process of figuring out how to use the Environmental Protection Agency has money to build charging infrastructure. And then the utilities also submitted plans towards various electrification and charging programs. So it's been a combination of, you know, looking across all these programs, seeing how they fit well, how not to duplicate, how to make sure that one program, you know, leverages from the other. And the other thing that's been a priority is also to take advantage of the federal money that's out there. So yes, we have submitted our plans for the corridors, but the federal government is also spending $5 billion on the Clean School Bus Program. And what was important was, you know, to get outreach and support to all our schools. And the first round just closed, but we have to do better in the next few rounds. And then we also have to figure out how to take advantage of the community grant program, which should be issued somewhere in, I think, the end of the year. And that is about $2.5 billion in grants for charging programs. So how can our, you know, our government entities partner with private entities and, you know, leverage that money? So, you know, that's what it's been for a while.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan Denham with WGLT. I want to ask you from your perspective. I don't know if you have this experience, but when I see a Rivian, it still like makes my head turn because they're rare enough on the road. I just saw one coming up in my rearview mirror yesterday. I was on Interstate 55 and they have that distinct front look. What are you seeing? How is the state of manufacturing EVs and EV components here in Illinois going?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. The living in Bloomington Normal here, you see Rivians like all over the place, because the employees sort of got the first batch of those vehicles when they came off the assembly line starting last year, and so you just kind of see them everywhere. It's very, very disorienting. But you know, the state of manufacturing here, it's been you know, this Rivian plant has really done a number in mostly a good way on our local economy here. So basically, we went from that plant having like 50 employees to, I think we're at like 6,300 employees now. That's just like in about 2 years, 2.5, 3 years. And so, you know, that has really done a number on our housing market. It's been pretty nutty, to use a technical term. you know, the rental market in particular is very strained, very low inventory there. There's some new residential construction. So it's had a very, you know, pretty significant impact on the local economy here in just a very quick amount of time.
You said 6,200 at the Rivian plant. Do you know how that compares to the when it was a Mitsubishi plant back in the day?
Yeah, they're up to 6,300 now, and that is already more than double when Mitsubishi was at peak. It is already more than double that.
Wow. Are these local people getting jobs, or is it people coming in from outside? Or do we know?
Combination. Yeah, I haven't seen like a geographic heat map or anything, but it is a combination of people coming in from other places. And then, you know, they're recruiting regionally too. So places like Peoria and Decatur, your neck of the woods in Champaign-Urbana, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Is and how have the Rivians been doing? You know, I occasionally, whatever the YouTube algorithm thinks I want to see, I do get reviews of Rivians. And every now and then you see somebody like with that sort of sad face on the thumbnail photo where they're like, oh, I've got some problems with this car. Are they, you know, holding up as far as people, what you're hearing?
From what I'm hearing, yes. I mean, the vehicles have been reviewed very favorably by sort of the largest auto publications. We've heard some consumer reports about like a few pieces of equipment on those early vehicles, but nothing widespread. I think the number one complaint that we've heard is the amount of time it's taking for those pre-order customers who put in those earliest pre-orders to get their vehicles. It just, you know, the production took a little longer than expected, so people are waiting quite a while.
Yeah, indeed.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation on what it'll take to build up an electric vehicle infrastructure in Illinois. The second round of funding for the Illinois Electric Vehicle Rebate Program is now open and runs through January 31st of next year. We first aired this conversation back in September, and we're joined by Megha Lakchura, the Electric Vehicles Coordinator at the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, Larissa Kohler, Director of Vehicle Electrification with the Environmental Defense Fund, and Ryan Denham, Content Director at NPR stations WGLT and WCBU. Because we're on tape, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought. Email talk at 21stshow.org. That's talk at 21stshow.org. Or tweet us at 21st Show, at 21stshow.
And Megha, let me ask you, I mentioned in the introduction to this conversation, the Climate and Equitable Jobs Act. For those who might not be as familiar with the details of this, it's abbreviated CEJA, what foundation does that lay for making widespread EV uptake a reality in Illinois?
Just the way I've always thought about CEJA, it's the first step, and it's a very good first step, but it's not going to get us to a million vehicles. What it does is it does create, it puts the goal in the legislation, and it creates these rebates that, the EPA gives out to anybody who's buying an electric vehicle post July 1, 2022. It also, you know, enables utilities to participate in electrification by asking them to submit beneficial electrification plans, which they did. And there'll be some decision on them by March. So, you know, we'll see a utility participation also in building up the infrastructure for the state. It also creates grants that the EPA can administer for charging equipment. So it supports some level of chargers, it supports some level of EVs, and it supports, you know, the utilities helping with the electric infrastructure to get there. But again, you know, let's note that we're just at 49,000 EVs. We have 200, like close to 200 fast charging ports, close to 1,800 level 2 public charging ports. We need thousands of these to, you know, get to where we need to be. And, you know, we could leverage on some of the federal money that we have, but we're still not going to be, it's still going to require more government programs. It's going to require more private participation. And most importantly, it's going to require like more electric vehicles on the road, you know, in various shapes and forms to help us, you know, get to our goals. And CEJA is just the first step, but a lot more needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. All right, I want to get a call in before we need to take a break at 800-222-9455. Harland is calling from Rockford on line 1. Thank you so much for calling in. I understand you're an EV owner.
I own a Nissan Leaf, and I love it.
How do you like it? How long have you had it, I mean?
About 4 or 5 years, something like that. I've got about 40,000 miles on it, and it still has a reasonable range. I almost never need to charge the car anyplace else except for my house. When I come home, I come into the garage, and I look over at my wife's Chevy Volt, and if the light is on her dashboard, then I wait, and I open the door and see when she'll be finished charging. And it'll like be 8 or 8:30 or 9 or 10 or midnight. And then I go down and I plug my car in, and the little lights on the dashboard blink, 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 three lights, showing that it's not charging yet. It won't start until, because there's a timer, until maybe 12 or 1 or 2 or 3. And I have real-time pricing with ComEd. And so every hour the rate per kilowatt hour goes down, up or down. And during the middle of the night, it's so low that there are times it goes below zero, and ComEd is paying me to fuel my car. It's comfortable. It's wonderful. It's got great pickup. You never have to change the oil. There's almost no maintenance. It's just a great car.
Yeah.
And
all right.
You
can
buy them used on. You go to one of these places.
We'll let listeners figure that out. Harlan, thank you so much. We need to take a break, but thank you so much for sharing your experience from a 2-EV household in Rockford. Love to hear it.
All right, we need to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on electric vehicle infrastructure in Illinois. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. For the rest of the program, we're listening back to our conversation on electric vehicle infrastructure in Illinois, in part pegged to the second electrical vehicle rebate program opening up across the state. It's open now through January 31st of next year. For this conversation, we were joined by Megha Lakchura, the Electric Vehicles Coordinator at the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, also Larissa Kohler, Director of Vehicle Electrification with the Environmental Defense Fund, and Ryan Denham, Content Director at our partner stations WGLT in Normal and WCBU in Peoria. He has reported on the Rivian company, which makes electric trucks in the Bloomington-Normal area. Because we're on tape, we're not taking calls, but leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you thought. 217-300-2121 is the number. 217-300-2121.
And we have a caller on the line. Keith is calling from Peoria on line 4. Keith, thank you for calling in. I understand you have some concerns about some of the components and parts in EVs.
Good morning. I was twofold. I am a hybrid owner, and I switched, you know, from the thought of going electric when it came down to range. So I fall in that range anxiety category. I wanted to be able to get from Peoria all the way down to Memphis if possible, and I didn't think I could do that. So that was my first bit of anxiety. And then it came down to batteries. And then in the idea of batteries, you know, how are we doing it as far as components and being able to not only help ourselves out from the environment but the economy? Will we be able to manufacture and still maintain our economy and not have a problem overseas?
All right. Thank you for that question, Keith. I appreciate that. And I share some of your range anxiety myself. We drive a hybrid, got a hybrid minivan last year, and so have taken it to Colorado and Florida. And just traveling with young children, the thought of having to, you know, spend an hour or two at a charging station was a little frightening to me, but I digress. Let's stick with that question you had about environmental components. And Larissa Kohler, can you talk about that? I mean, I've seen there's been a number of news stories recently about, you know, lithium miner being one of the worst jobs in the world. How are we thinking about supply chains, particularly as it comes to some of these components of electric vehicles?
Thanks. You're right that, you know, when we're thinking about this transition to electric and zero emission vehicles, we really have to look at the whole supply chain. And that includes, you know, from mining all the way to recycling. So just a couple things to note, there are provisions in two really critical pieces of federal legislation, the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and the Inflation Reduction Act. They really are seeking to concentrate mining and battery production in the United States and in a select number of countries outside of the United States that have free trade agreements with the United States. So that is a really a big opportunity in addition to the tax credits and grants embedded within those pieces of legislation to facilitate better batteries, better mining practices, and really start to focus the battery supply chain in a way that's more environmentally friendly. Of course, we will need to put protections in place to ensure that those mining practices don't disproportionately impact tribal nations and pollution burden communities. As well, we'll need to make sure that battery recycling practices also prevent a huge uptick or a significant uptick in emissions. But that is, I think, going to be a significant focus in the coming future. How do we do more research and development on batteries to make sure that we're relying less on these critical minerals and making sure that we're reducing the environmental impact of the batteries and making them more efficient, as well as continuing to invest in recycling to make sure we're not just sourcing new minerals over and over again, that we're reusing them. So that was maybe a long-winded way of saying that it is a huge focus coming up. We're cognizant of the fact that we need to reduce the environmental impact of the supply chain, but I think you're gonna see that continuing to be better and better in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation on what it'll take to build up an electric vehicle infrastructure in Illinois. The second round of funding for the Illinois Electric Vehicle Rebate Program is now open and runs through January 31st of next year. We first aired this conversation back in September, and we're joined by Megha Lakchura, the Electric Vehicles Coordinator at the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, Larissa Kohler, Director of Vehicle Electrification with the Environmental Defense Fund, and Ryan Denham, Content Director at NPR stations WGLT and WCBU. Because we're on tape, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought. Email talk at 21stshow.org. That's talk at 21stshow.org. Or tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. Let me read another text we got from a listener. This is Christopher in Brimfield, who said, I would love to get an EV car, but we're planning on waiting a few more years. I think my choices will improve. It seems to me the EV makers are marketing to the high end buyers. And Ryan Denham from WGLT, you've noted in your reporting, as of July, the Kelley Blue Book says the average price of an electric vehicle is $66,000. To what extent does that lock out people who might otherwise be interested in buying an EV? And is there any indication of prices coming down at all?
Yeah, I mean, I can speak to the Rivian side of this. That is a price point we've followed pretty closely, and they've got more expensive and not more affordable over the arc of time for that young company. I think Megha will probably be first to point out that the new state tax credits that Illinois has been putting out, there is a carve out for used vehicles for a tax credit there. So there is some effort to bring price point into that kind of realm of affordability for more middle income buyers. But yeah, right now it is not affordable for many middle income buyers, full stop.
Megha, can you build off of that in terms of the state policy? I did mention that, you know, CEJA has this $4,000, I think, electric vehicle rebate in place for people, especially lower income people who purchase new all electric vehicles. What can be done else otherwise to bring the cost down? And will that make much of a difference?
I mean, I completely agree with Ryan. I believe that EVs, about like a year ago or so, maybe 2 years ago, everyone was promising the $32,000 Tesla. And then at this point of time, maybe the only affordable EV is the Bolt and the GM Bolt. And besides that, you know, we haven't seen many economical models being released. And most of the vehicles that are issued at a certain point of time, like the Ford Mustang came out with a $42,000 price tag, which I think is, I still think that's expensive. But again, they just completely ran out and then you couldn't even buy a vehicle. So both availability as well as price have been a problem here. So we do have a rebate. We have a $4,000 rebate that you can get here. And if you combine that with the federal rebate in the Inflation Reduction Act, which can be $7,500 on select vehicles. But again, there's a lot of conditions attached to which vehicles qualify based on, you know, how much they're manufacturing domestically. You could typically get, you know, maybe $10,000 off what the MSRP is on the car. So yes, some models are going to be like better priced. Affordable again is pretty subjective. I think automakers have to do better in releasing vehicles that are more affordable for people out there. And we can put the rebates out there, but you know, there's only so much we can do. And the other issue that the state really can't do much about is availability. If you try to go and buy a vehicle, an EV right now, it can take about a year or 6, 7, 8, 9 months. And sometimes people don't have the luxury to wait that long. But I think that this is a problem that will solve itself. And as the state, we will continue to support EVs and, you know, hope the market also corrects and, you know, we get better adoption.
All right.
If you don't mind, maybe. I can just add one other quick element, which is that I absolutely agree with everything that's been said. The upfront cost is still sort of out of scope for a lot of people that want to adopt these vehicles. But I think it's also important to remember that the total cost of ownership. So when you're looking at, you know, year at a sort of a year's long proposition, the fuel cost savings and operation and maintenance savings that people will see from transitioning to an electric vehicle will make it economically feasible. So even though that upfront cost is still high, I think looking at that total picture is important.
If you're just joining us, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're listening back to our conversation on what it'll take to build up an electric vehicle infrastructure in Illinois. The second round of funding for the Illinois Electric Vehicle Rebate Program is now open and runs through January 31st of next year. We first aired this conversation back in September, and we're joined by Megha Lakchura, the Electric Vehicles Coordinator at the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, Larissa Kohler, Director of Vehicle Electrification with the Environmental Defense Fund, and Ryan Denham, Content Director at NPR stations WGLT and WCBU. Because we're on tape, we're not taking calls, but let us know what you thought. Email talk at 21stshow.org. That's talk at 21stshow.org. Or tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show.
In the time we have remaining, we did mention earlier that this goes beyond, the need to switch to EV goes beyond just consumer sort of individual cars and trucks and get into commercial or public vehicles, city buses, delivery trucks, things like that. Ryan, can you talk about efforts that you're seeing to go beyond, you know, individual vehicles and the rollout of electric buses and things like that?
Yeah, I can speak to that on a couple of fronts. So here in Bloomington Normal, our public transit system is called Connect Transit. And they've made some pretty good progress in terms of getting grants to buy electric buses. So I think in a couple of years, they're going to have about half of the entire fleet electric. I think they've got, they're going to have 12 by the end of this year and then adding 5 over the next few years. That's pretty significant. I think the other thing I'd mention too is that Rivian, so again, this electric automaker that's here in our community, I think they see fleet vehicles as a real big part of their business moving forward. So right now, that is like Amazon delivery vans. You may have started to see those kind of crop up where you live, these electric Amazon vans. So Rivian is making those. I think they just signed a partnership with Mercedes-Benz to open a factory in Europe to make more electric vans. So I think they see fleet as a real big area of opportunity for them, especially in the after passage here of the Inflation Reduction Act, which I think has a nice carve out amount of money for like large electric vehicles specifically.
Mega, one of the other aspects of this that's important, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, is charging stations and charging networks. I did want to ask, because according we found a stat, according to the U.S. Department of Energy, buying and installing a fast charging station, this is like from an operator standpoint, it could run as much as $200,000 and more. And a lot of businesses might not be able to afford that. How do you make sure, or how do you work with industry to set up electric, you know, this sort of build out this electric charging network and make sure it's feasible?
You know, in an ideal scenario, we reduce the capital cost of it considerably, so that, because we know that any developer who's going to set up a charging station right now, it's going to take them, it's not economically very viable. For example, let's consider a state like Illinois, with just 49,000 light duty vehicles. So we know that they're not going to, the economics might not work out. So the way we can do that is, we can support them through grants and through, you know, various incentives. For example, at EPA, we're working on creating programs that, you know, with creating grants for charging infrastructure. What the utilities have also submitted are plans where the utility, I mean, the way the costs are, they could potentially, I'm not going to say offset, but amortize the make ready, or, you know, all the costs right up to the stub, and recover them, you know, over a period of 9-10 years. So a developer doesn't have to just, you know, go ahead and spend a lot of money upfront. And then we give them some grants to take care of the charging equipment. And then, you know, that sort of helps. So right now we have, you know, federal programs like NEVI, where we have $148 million to build out corridors. And we can use that to create that. And we can also use state programs. So it's basically figuring out incentives to, you know, offset capital costs.
And that was our conversation on electric vehicle infrastructure in Illinois. That is all the time we have for our program today. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we're planning to bring you a conversation with recently reelected Illinois U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth about political violence, the future of American democracy, and the Democratic agenda in 2023 and beyond. That's coming up on tomorrow's program. The 21st Show is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson, Anaya Jones, and Zainab Qureshi. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.